Part 1 Chapter 1 He did not regret agreeing to go. He had long learned to accept the consequences of every decision he took with a degree of equanimity. Regret, then, was hardly the word for it. But consequences hatched slowly and not always sweetly. The long drive west had reminded him of the point more forcefully with every mile. His past was a hostile country, his present a tranquil plain. By going home he was not only abandoning a refuge, but proclaiming that he no longer needed one, which, naturally, he would have said was self-evidently true. But saying and believing are very different things, as different as noise and silence, and what he heard most through the tinted glass and impact-proof steel of his sleek grey company car was silence. Heading west to reach home was also a contradiction in historical terms. However well he played the part of a coolly efficient middle management Englishman, Nicholas Palaeologus was, if his grandfather's genealogical researches were to be believed, something altogether more exotic, a descendant of the last emperor of Byzantium. He had always displayed, and almost always felt, a keen disdain for his semi-legendary Eastern roots. The attention they had attracted had been at best unwelcome, at worst... But he did not care to dwell on the worst he could remember. Since isolating himself from his family, he had been prepared to admit to Greek ancestry, but nothing more, denying any imperial connection to those pitiful few who recognised the name. It scarcely seemed likely, after all, that the last of the Palaeologi should have found their way to England. Yet so their patchy history insisted. The Palaeologus dynasty had ruled Byzantium for the last and least glorious 200 years of its existence, until Emperor Constantine the 11th of that ilk had fallen, defending the walls of Constantinople in vain against the besieging Turks in 1453. The disaster had scattered those of the family it had not destroyed, to mix with humbler bearers of the name around the Mediterranean, until Constantine's great-great-great-great-nephew, Theodore, fleeing an attempted murder charge in Italy, had set fugitive foot on English soil, and never left it. He had lived out his final years as a guest of the Lower family at their mansion Clifton, on the Cornish bank of the Tamar, opposite Plymouth, in the parish of Llandulph, where he had died in 1636. It was Theodore Palaeologus's memorial plaque in Llandulph Church that had inspired Nick's grandfather, Godfrey Palaeologus, to settle in the area and devote the numerous leisure hours a sizable inheritance allowed him to proving his descent from the imperial line. He had bought a tumble-down farmhouse called Trenor, halfway between the church and the village of Cargreen, and slowly transformed it into a comfortable family home. A Plymouthian by birth, he had never quite clinched his blood connection with the long-dead Theodore, but had at least achieved his ambition of being buried at Llandulph, though not in the 17th-century Palaeologus vault. His son Michael had read archaeology at Oxford, and gone on to teach it there. His 5 children, including Nick, had all been born in the city. But Michael had never sold Trenor, keeping it as a holiday home, even after his parents' death, and ultimately retiring there himself. Since his wife's death, he had lived alone. Though 4 of his children were close by, tied to the area by choice or chance. Only Nick ploughed a distant furrow. And now he too was returning, though not for long, and not, he suspected, for the very best of reasons. It was Friday afternoon. A dank winter nightfall had outpaced him on the road. Maybe it was just as well, he thought, as the wayside mileage signs counted him down to his destination. Maybe the cover of darkness was what he needed. Cover of some sort, for sure. He always needed that. Sunday would be his eldest brother's 50th birthday. Andrew farmed sheep on Bodmin Moor, cutting an ever more forlorn figure, according to their sister Irene,